Psalms 133. Behold, how good. Can I just testify about the Lord for a minute? Ain't you glad that the Lord found you? Boy, I'm glad He found me. I wasn't worth finding. I wasn't worth saving. But boy, I'm glad that I found myself in an old-fashioned altar and asked Jesus to save me. And boy, that's exactly what He done. Boy, I appreciate the Lord. Now, I can't tell no about the man called Jesus tonight. Amen. All right. Psalms 133. Let's look tonight. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and of the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore. You can be seated tonight. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. Oh Lord, I thank You for the mercy that we have experienced in our life, to know that we're saved tonight. It wasn't anything that we done except that we come and called out to You and You extended mercy unto us. And Lord, we pray tonight that if there's somebody here that's lost, that they'd come and get saved before it's eternally too late. God, we know that You're soon to come. I mean, the signs are pointing to Your coming. And we know that time is soon to be no more as we know it now. And God, we pray that You'd move upon folks' hearts that's lost, that they'd get saved. Maybe somebody here in the service tonight. God, we pray for the one that has a need. Maybe one of edification, exhortation. God, we pray that they'd find it in the Word of God tonight. Help the one that does not feel well. And God, we just pray now that You'd help us to preach. Guard our mind and our thoughts and touch us and anoint us afresh tonight. And save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray. Amen. And amen. As we look this morning, we look at dwelling together. In unity. And we looked at the very first two characteristics, I guess you might say, the two words that the psalmist used in the brethren dwelling together. First of all, we looked that it was good and that to dwell together in unity. We looked at how good meant that there was adequate strength to support it. Listen, it's a good thing for the church to be in unity because it strengthens and that the church. Then we looked about how that it was proper and right. It's just the right thing to do for the church to dwell in unity. We talked about how good that it was in kindness that for us to dwell together in unity, that we must show kindness one to another. You say, well, they don't deserve kindness. We don't either some days. But ain't you glad that some people show you kindness? Amen. We probably don't deserve it. But then we talked about how the Bible said that it was pleasant. Not only is it good, but it's pleasant. It's cheerful. It's pleasing and it's lovely. I didn't even really talk about how it was lovely this morning. Hey, listen, can I tell you today that when the church dwells in unity together, when the brethren and the sisters dwell in unity, listen, I believe it's lovely before God. It's a good thing for this body of local, for this body of the local assembly to come together and dwell together in unity around the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done for us. Amen. I thank God for that today. We talked about how that it's pleasant in the fact that the Scripture tells us the very first time we see that word that it deals and that with eyesight. It is a pleasant thing to see the church dwell together in unity. But in verse 2 is where I want to pick up tonight, where it says it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Now it's not like Aaron. That's not what it's making reference to. It's not making reference to what Aaron had on. It's not making reference to Aaron's beard. But what it's making reference to, it's like that precious ointment that Moses took took over there and started up here on his head and began to pour down and that over the head of Aaron and anoint him to be priest over the nation of Israel. Now I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to the book of Exodus chapter 30. I want you to see something in that about this oil right here, this anointing ointment. Exodus chapter 30. Can I tell you tonight that this was a special ointment? It was only made for special reasons. And that's what makes that verse so important tonight in Exodus chapter 30. I look in verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, hive so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 200. Boy, I just begin to catch on to something here. Let me read on. And of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. Now listen, out of everything that's been mixed up in there, I didn't even think about this while I was reading that. Imagine what that thing smelled like. Imagine out of all that cinnamon that's in there, and then it's got that sweet calamus in there, and then it's got myrrh in there, and then the olive oil. Imagine what that thing smelled like when it got poured down and that over Aaron. Then look what it says. And thou shalt make it in an oil. Now watch what your Bible said. Holy ointment. He said an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his food. And thou shalt sanctify them that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. What made them holy? Well, that anointing oil right there made them holy. Then read verse 30. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. Hey, this just wasn't a regular anointing oil. Hey, this just wasn't regular medicine. This just wasn't regular oil that they would use for some other reason. But God said, this is holy oil that's made unto me. And he said, don't pour it upon man's flesh, neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Now imagine, now think about this for just a second. As we read that and about the oil over there that Moses, that God told Moses, he said when he talks about unity, he said it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. Now think about that for a minute after what we just read about that holy anointing oil right there for just a second. Listen, that was special oil that was poured and that up on Aaron. Whatever it touched, it became holy. Did you catch that right there? Hey, if this church is going to be holy unto God, we're going to have to dwell together in unity. Amen? Ain't that right tonight? Listen, if we want God's blessings and we want to be sanctified, if you let me say that, and set apart and head for the work of God, then listen, we're going to have to be and that unified together. I thought about that it had a recipe of how it was made. You know, there's a recipe of how to have unity tonight. Did you know that? What did we find in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 over there? Was it 1 Peter chapter 3 that we sing this morning? 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion on one another. Love his brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. But contrarywise, bless anointing you there. Knowing you're there unto called that you should inherit a blessing. Well, that's the recipe for unity tonight among the brethren is to have compassion, to dwell in the same mind, love one another, be pitiful, be courteous, one with another, and we'll have unity in the church. Again, now remember, when I talk about unity, I'm just not talking about getting along for the sake of getting along. I'm talking about getting along around the things of God tonight and getting along one with another, but there is a recipe to it. But whatever it touched, it became holy. I believe that the church is special to the Lord tonight. But listen, friend, I believe if we're going to accomplish anything and get set out for the job that God has called us to do, we're going to have to dwell together in unity. This church can't go without unity. It just can't do it. It cannot. Too many has tried. Too many. Let me ask you this. I was thinking about this morning. I never talked about it. But have you ever went to church where there wasn't any unity? I mean, honestly, where folk were bickering and fighting. You know what folk tell us when they come in here? You know what I hear from a lot of people when they come in? They say, man, it's just like a family in here. Well, some of you are shaking your head. I'm watching you right now. Listen, it's just like a family. You know, in your family, you don't get to choose your family. You know what the saying is? You get to choose your friends, but you don't get to choose who your family is. Tonight, you know what? You love. I love my family no matter what. And they, some of my family, and I'm talking about my extended family too, they, some of them, ain't sure how much they love me, but I'll tell you what, I'd do whatever I could to help them no matter what. I mean, no matter what happened, I would try to help them, and I would like to think that, listen, as God's family tonight, that there's unity in this church. Listen, that we're dwelling together around Him and trying to serve Him and live on as a family. But boys, Moses anointed, whether it was Aaron or whether it was his sons or whether it was whatever was in the tabernacle, and then that was God's putting His approval upon that thing. God had made that holy. God had made the recipe. God had told Moses what to do. God had told him to anoint that thing. And listen right here, He said it is like when the brethren dwell together in unity, it's like the precious ointment upon the head. I thought about when Moses poured that on Aaron and it run down on him. Listen, he just didn't put a little bit right here, because the Bible said it run down his beard, and that it run down all the way to the skirts of his garment. He flooded him with it. Boy, it'd be good if we's flooded with unity tonight. It'd be good if we'd say that I wish we would just dwell together in unity. And like I said this morning when I got to the very end, is that before I let you go, I know there's times things have to be dealt with. I know there's times things has got to get said and must be said. But we can still do it in love. We can still do it with compassion in our heart and still dwell together in unity. But can you imagine as it was poured over him? And as it run down, and it's oil now, so get in your mind for just a second. As that oil run down the front of his face, from his head, and run down his beard, run all the way down the front of his garment, and maybe down the back of his garment, and down the back of his garment, down to his feet, down there. Can you imagine how shiny Aaron was? Now think about that for just a second. He couldn't help but to be shiny with all that oil on the front of him. I mean, you ever had oil poured on you? I can't say that I have. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought about, man, he must have shined when Moses got done pouring that on him. Now listen, he said right here, it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Can I ask you tonight, can I ask you, reckon how shiny we are to those that are around us and sees our church as a whole? Reckon, do we stick out? Yet don't you think Aaron stuck out that day? Now listen, I know that was a holy thing and that was a holy act that was going to return. I'm not trying to make light of it by any means. I'm telling you, I believe that he shined not only from the oil, but I believe that he shined from the consecration that God had put on his life. Listen, friend, and I believe that this church can shine as long as we dwell together in unity around the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice that it ran all over him. That it ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, covered him all, didn't it? That holy anointing oil covered every bit of him. That was special oil, consecrating oil, and God said, pour it all over him. And so as it ran down, God just didn't consecrate part of him, But God consecrated all of him. It just ain't my job to dwell together in unity. It just ain't somebody that you're sitting around to dwell together in unity. And you get to do what you want to do. It's all of us that's got to dwell together in unity. It's got to cover all of us, friend. I'm telling you tonight, I believe God was pleased that day when Moses went out there and poured that oil over his brother Aaron and anointed him to be the priest, the high priest, and that over the nation of Israel today. I believe God was satisfied. Now, you want me to give you something to think about? You want me to give you something to think about? This is the same Aaron that went over there and made a golden calf and said, "These are the gods that brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now think about that for just a second. You say, God couldn't use somebody like that. Well, sure he can. Was not David a man after God's own heart? And David committed adultery, and David committed and that murder, and David numbered Israel when God said not to, and brought all that sin upon the nation of Israel. And God still used him. Tonight, I think that if we dwell together in unity, I believe that it is very important to the Lord tonight. It consecrated him and made him holy. I know we're holy tonight. I know the church is holy to the Lord. But what I'm trying to get to the point tonight is it is very special, friend, that we're sanctified. That word means set apart and that for the work of God. And we're done that way in unity tonight. He talks about it is like the precious ointment. He called it precious. That's something of great value upon the head. Now let me say this. If you read that scripture again in the book of Exodus, he said, "Don't pour it on man's flesh." Listen, it's just not like anything else. Can I tell you there's nothing like anything else when God's people gets to dwell together in unity? You ever get in a meeting? Let me ask you this. You ever get in a meeting somewhere, and it don't even have to be, I'm talking about maybe revival meeting or camp meeting, and you got people in there that don't even go to church there. But they come in there with the intention and that of dwelling together in unity as the body of Christ. They're coming in there to dwell around the Lord Jesus Christ and want to worship him and praise him. And you know what happens? The next thing you know, he shows up. You know, if we'll do that together as a church, come in here and dwell together as unity and dwell together as a church around him, the Lord's just liable to show up, friend. Look what he said in verse 3. "As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore." As I began to consider that, I thought about that dew. That dew, if you looked on the mountain, if you were standing in the valley and you seen that dew fall, it made the mountain shine too. You ever watched it? You ever watched dew just look out over a field where dew's at? And you know, you look at it and you see that water just standing out through there. I think it's pretty myself. Now, you may not think so, but I think it's pretty when that dew has fell of the morning and you get up and you go out there first thing and you see it and you see the blessing of God. But you know something, when you look at that, as he talked about the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion and on Mount Hermon right there, can I tell you that dew is refreshing? Did you know it's very refreshing to the church and to God's people to dwell together in unity? Just to get along and to be happy and have compassion on one another and everything around him, it's just refreshing. It's refreshing. I mean, the world is beating us to death. Listen, if you work on a public job where Christ is not honored, now there's some places where Christ is honored in facilities. I know that for a fact tonight. But there's some places where Christ ain't even thought of. And if you work there tonight, I feel for you. I'll be honest with you. It ought to be refreshing. It ought to be refreshing to come to church and just dwell with God's people and to just come to church and sing the songs of Zion and to sit and hear the preaching. You ought to be refreshed when you come. It ought not to be a burden, but a blessing. Now, if it's a burden, you need to look and see why it is. But listen, he said right here, it's like the dew that come upon Mount Zion and upon Mount Hermon. Listen, you know what kept the mountains bearing up there? You know why things would bear on the mountains and fruit would come forth out of the mountain? Because of the dew that fell upon the mountain. You know why this church can continue to accomplish what it's going to accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ? Unity. Unity. Without unity, we'll not go forward. A church cannot move without unity. You know what made the mountain so beautiful to look at, that made it grow, that made the trees to grow, made the flowers to grow, the plants to grow, the grass to grow? The dew that fell. I know rain comes, but that dew is just about faithful every morning, ain't it? Just about that. You know what? I learned this from Brother Eddie McCosh years ago when I'd farm with him, son. There was something he would do when we get ready to go mow hay and cut hay. He'd go out in the morning, and if they wasn't dew on the ground, we wouldn't mow hay. Now you say, well, that's just an old wives' tale. I don't know if it is or not, but I'll tell you this, because his theory was, if there wasn't dew on the ground, it's going to rain sometime today. But we'd go out, and if there was dew on the ground, and he'd get ready and that to mow hay. And you know what that dew would do? It would cause that stuff to grow, and it would cause them flowers to grow on that mountain, and it would make things beautiful. You know what? You know what's beautiful in the sight of God tonight? When His people dwell together in unity. Are we catching on tonight that we're to be dwelling together in unity tonight? Listen, it was refreshing. It made things to grow. It made things beautiful. You show me a church where there is no unity, I'll show you one that is not pretty. I'll show you one that is not refreshing to be in. And so God caused that to happen. I know that dew is a natural reaction. As the cooling of the night comes after the heating of the day and the moisture is in the air and that water begins to drop out and we call it dew, I know that is a natural act. So let me say this, that it will be something natural for us to do, to dwell together in unity. But it's the blessing of God. Listen, God will bless the church. I want God to bless this church. I want God to bless me. And listen, the one way to do that I know of from Scripture is to dwell together in unity. But then he said, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the eye of the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. It was out of these mountains and out of Mount Zion that God commanded the blessing to come. I really believe this is where he was talking about. And that with Moses, where God had gave Moses all the scripture and gave him all the law and told him everything that was going to happen. He had told him up there, he said, look, Moses, he said, if they'll follow me, I'll bless them all the days of their life. He said, out of that mountain that dew fell on and that growed and that was beautiful, he said, that's where the blessing of the Lord come from. Where's the blessing of the Lord going to come from tonight? What's the world going to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's going to have to come out of here, ain't it? Ain't that right? Hey, listen, dew's going to have to fall on us. The unity's going to have to fall on us. And then it's going to have to come. Listen, the blessing of God has got to come out of this church, even life forevermore. Who's going to carry it to a world tonight that don't know Him? We're going to have to do that tonight. Listen, no doubt, that's where life evermore come from. He said, even life forevermore. Dwelling together in unity. Church, can I just encourage us tonight? All I want us to do as a church, I've got to be very careful because I don't want to kick my message over right now. I think we do a pretty fire job of dwelling together in unity. But there's always room for us to improve. There's always room for me to look and say, how can I be kind in this situation? How can I have compassion on this situation right here? Lord, how can I look over some things right here? Sometimes it's just hard to look over some people and what they might have said to you and what they, and listen, like I told you this morning, sometimes people say things out of the way and they didn't mean to. They just didn't mean to say it that way. And you know what? If we'll have compassion and pitifulness in our heart, you know what? Our whole mind will be considered on just wanting to dwell together in unity. You say, God, you're just going to have to help me with that. And Lord, I don't know if they meant anything by it or not. But I just want to dwell together. I just want to love on them. I want to love on them. Say, preacher, do you really feel that way? You know, I tell the Lord every now and again, Lord, just help me love on my church people. I consider you my church people. I'll be honest with you, I really do. God put me here to pastor. And I figure that he wants me to pastor. I say, Lord, just help me love them more and more. I do. I mean that with all my heart. I just want to love you more and more and more and more so that we might dwell together in unity. And if we'll do that, I believe out of this church, God can use us and that not only to win people to Christ and point people to Christ, but help people when they need help. Can I say tonight, as he talked right here at the very end, for thou the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore, to come out of that mountain. Can I tell you the greatest mountain that there ever was? Was Mount Calvary. And that's where my sin got took care of tonight. The greatest blessing that a man, woman, boy, or girl ever have is to come and kneel to altar and come to the Lord Jesus Christ at Mount Calvary. Boy, there's where my sin got paid for. There's where my mercy comes from. And listen, if Christ had mercy on us, if you're saved tonight, and Christ had mercy on you, shouldn't we have mercy on one another tonight? You know, Christ Jesus wants to dwell with you and dwell in your home and dwell in your heart. Listen, don't you think he wants us to dwell together as a people and love on one another and have unity around him tonight? He says it was like that precious anointing oil and like that dew that fell upon Mount Hermon and upon the mountains of Zion. Boy, it was refreshing. Refreshing. I hope coming to church is refreshing. I hope it's beautiful to come, that you see something beautiful, not because of us, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Let's bow our heads this evening. Let's bow our heads. Listen, unity. Unity. The Lord wants us to join you. Fellas, just come and get a verse of invitation tonight. Unity. I think we can have it. I think we do experience it. But sometimes we have to strive at it. We have to work at it to keep it. And so tonight, maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you're struggling to maybe love somebody like you should. Preacher, are you really that way? I'm really that way sometimes. It was like I told you this morning, the one thing that the devil wants to do is to work a wedge between me and you and between you and each other. And if he can do that, then he's got us licked, friend. He's got us took care of. All we'll do is maintain what we're doing. We'll come in here and we'll play church and we'll go home and nothing will never be different. But when unity comes in a church, friend, when unity comes in a church, listen, God will be pleased with it. It'll be holy and consecrated unto him. It'll be refreshing. It'll have a shine to it that even folk outside can see it and what's going on. If you need to come and pray, maybe you've never been saved tonight, I want you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for helping us, giving us the message. And Lord, I've tried to preach what you give us tonight. And Lord, I pray it was a blessing to your people. And again, as I said this morning, I didn't want to be mean or ugly or any of those things, but to encourage us, Lord, to just, sometimes we just got to forgive and go on and just not hold a grudge and not hold an ought, but Lord, just go on and dwell together in unity around you. And Lord, if somebody needs to come and pray tonight, I pray they'll come. Lord, maybe somebody needs to come and get saved. And I